Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Morning show Monday, 6 to 10, Metro Atlanta Urban Farms in College Park. Come by, say hi. We're going to be part. You're going to be in Athens tonight, Andy.
And
we're
going to
be in Athens tomorrow, 9 to 1, for college football game time at Grindhouse on Lumpkin.
I think I'm going to be in Athens tonight. That's
you're up to Hugh. You know what, Andy?
That's up to you,
I was
really
mad at you yesterday because you told me on your show, The Bunker Mentality, that when they do the prostate exam, they don't do the actual exam anymore. You told me in your show, because you know you're a radio sage, that they do the blood work. Then I found out yesterday that ain't the case. That ain't the case, Andy. That is not the case.
I hate that you had to find out.
I found out the hard way, Andy.
I understand.
I found out the hard way.
My doctor lied to me then.
Well, you know what? You know what?
I was just passing on medical rumors that I got.
You know, and technically, you're right. When you're a younger man, you don't have to. You can actually do the blood test. When you get a little bit older, then you get the manual. She went manual on me yesterday.
So, are we all right?
We're good now. I just was a little. You know, I had to have an intervention.
I showed up to work today ready to. If it was going to end today, I was going out swinging.
No, I had to have an intervention, and I had to get me some potato chips because that was my comfort food, and everything is
Let's
fine.
Let's give them their show. Say it.
All right, then. Say Andy it. Randy coming up next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We all know life in the South revolves around football.
And I think we do have a great fan base here in Atlanta.
We do, too. Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger. Work it, all the, make it better, do it faster. Makes us stronger, all the better.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Happy Friday. Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael. Andy and Randy.
Good rainy morning, Andy.
Good rainy morning to you, Randy McMichael. Bye, Hugh.
Woo, all right, Hugh.
Woo, dodged a bullet on that one.
Hey, man.
I thought I was going to die this morning.
I might have to fight you if they got to go up in me. And I asked him in the bullpen. I said, Hugh, were they gentle? And he's like, no, man. And I know. And I'm getting to that age where it's about that time for me. But
yeah. I'm 40.
I'm going to hold out as long as I can, bro.
Right.
Yeah, I can't deal with the violation of that.
I understand that. Yeah. And that's why when I went to the doctor a couple months ago and got my annual physical, I asked about it because that's one of those things. The prostate cancer is becoming more prevalent at a younger age, unfortunately, for whatever reason. I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. But so I asked my doctor about it, and the doctor said, "No, well, you're good because we can just sort of test and monitor your blood work on that." In fact, my doctor said, and this is a quote of my doctor. We're not sure that the old method of testing for prostate cancer is actually effective. And I said, oh, good. And that was sort of where it ended. Now, they didn't have to do that to me, so I figured that maybe that was over. But apparently there's a certain age. Me and Hugh are 13 years apart.
Right.
So there's a line of demarcation between how old I am and how old Hugh is to where that still has to happen, I guess. And I guess I gave my man some bad advice. Yeah. I didn't mean to do that.
I mean, they went up in him, and that's a bad feeling. See, I got my physicals are done. My wife usually books them. But what she does is that she has them call her, because a lot of times I don't go. And she's like, how'd it go? Oh, it was great, babe. No problem. But now they call her and let her know that I didn't go. So I have to go to yearly physical now.
They're calling home.
Oh, yeah. It's
when the teacher calls home and rats you out.
Yeah, man, it sucks.
You ever in school, high school, middle school, elementary school at some point, get into it with another kid and know at the end of the day that you're going to meet by the flagpole and that's going to happen?
Yeah.
That's always a weird feeling because
The angst.
The rest of the day, whether it happens at lunchtime or recess or whatever, the rest of the day, you're looking at the clock feeling like, all right, am I up for this? Am I ready for this when school's over today? That's what my whole last 12 hours was like once Hugh tweeted out yesterday. Like 18 hours when Hugh tweeted out yesterday afternoon, me and Andy have beef, and we're going to have to talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's like, what was the movie, The Wood? Have you ever seen The Wood?
I've seen The Wood.
Remember when he touched the old girl's butt and everything, and how you looking at the clock because Stacey was coming to get him? Yeah, that's how you were yesterday.
And all night. I didn't sleep much last night. I didn't know what he was mad at me about. I even tried to text him. Did you really try to sneak text him?
Sneak text him.
Like, hey, so we're really cool, right?
Yeah.
And he texted me, we'll talk in the morning.
No!
Dang it! All right. So I showed up. I got a pep talk this morning in the mirror, and I was like, if this is how it ends, this is how it ends. Right. Wear some clean underwear, because that's... You don't want to die in dirty underwear.
No, you don't.
And I was going to go down swinging. Thank goodness that didn't have to happen, because... I would have died. Yeah. That would have been a quick one. It would almost wouldn't have been worth his time.
I can't say I would have jumped in, but I would have tried to help.
Maybe try to break it up.
No, I try to grab him. The fight between you here, it really ain't a breakup. It's get him from getting you.
Right, because once he gets his hands on
me,
it's not going to go well. Remember the Jim Miller tackle sack back in the day?
Yeah.
Jim Miller was a large professional quarterback.
Yeah. He almost broke my ass.
I'm not one of those. I'm just a radio host.
I mean, what do we have? I mean, we talked a while back when me and you were doing a show together, and you said your whole objective in life is not to get punched in the face.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so worried last night. I was like, what did I say to Hugh? But
I don't think he would punch you in the face. I think he would just choke you out.
Just throw me out the window.
Choke you out.
Yeah. Anyway, glad that didn't have to happen. That would have been a real bummer. Would have been a real tough way to go out. Because I'm looking forward to go to Athens tonight.
I'm looking forward to you. I hope the weather cooperates with you, but it don't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. We were talking before the show, me and Mark, and Knox Bardeen walked in the studio, and he was like, well, hopefully it doesn't rain on you guys tonight going out in Athens. And I said, I'm well-versed at drinking in the rain, my friend.
You got a raincoat?
I don't even need a raincoat. Yeah. I don't care.
I mean, the rain.
I got booze.
The rain will keep you sober a little bit.
Maybe.
I'm so jealous.
Maybe. Booze will keep me dry, one way or the other. I won't know the difference.
I'm so jealous.
All right.
So
jealous. A lot going on today, of course. We'll get plenty of conversation about about G-Day tomorrow and the broadcast tonight. Good morning to Mark Owens and Wendy Adams as well. They're on the other side of the glass. Hello.
They're waving.
Hi, folks.
And then Mark is, you know.
Oh, wow. That's the universal sign.
Another two-gun salute.
And up now, can't hear you, Wendy. Nope, still can't. Yeah. But anyway, good morning to those folks over there on the other side. They'll make intermittent appearances in the studio throughout the day. Of course, G-Day, we've got some Atlanta United to talk going into tomorrow. The Braves kind of off the radar a little bit today, which is nice. They lost early enough yesterday, and in a way that wasn't as frustrating. I mean, it's still frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But not as frustrating. So we'll spend some time on them, but obviously a lot of the conversation coming from what Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff said yesterday. We will play you much of it coming up in 15 minutes and react to what we heard. Try to figure out maybe a clue or two going into the draft, if that's at all possible. So we'll get to that in 15 minutes. Before we do any of that, though, let's get to what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, kicking off the show with what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
They're resilient bunch. It's going to happen. This isn't going to be the last time that we're sitting here right now talking about this situation like this. We got six more months, and it's not easy. You know, it just doesn't happen. You got to grind through some of these spots like this to get to where you want to go.
That's Brian Snitker after the loss yesterday, 4-1 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And while we're all frustrated, and they got swept by the Diamondbacks, while we're all frustrated about the bullpen, and I think reasonably so, or at least justifiably so. I don't know if we're being reasonable about it, but I think it's justifiable. I think it's also okay to be upset that the offense scored three runs in two games.
Mm-hmm. They have not been doing their part either. Let's not try to sugarcoat that. They have not been playing well. Didn't get a run until Freddie hits that solo home run. But I mean, Ozzie struggled in this series from the leadoff spot, really bad. And so that goes back. Do we got to move him again? You know, I mean, there's so many questions now because we were all. Coming into the series, we were like, oh, we're set at the leadoff spot. That's going to be Ozzie's spot, and then Ozzie struggled. Camargo, he's in there. He has two errors at third base yesterday. I mean, and one gave up a run. But it's still about this pitching. And this dude, I don't even care what his name is.
The Sobotka.
Don't throw him out there no more.
Because Soroka was good.
Soroka was fine.
Soroka was fine. He was fine.
Soboka, whatever.
Sobotka.
All right, put him on the shelf with Sad Damn Sam. Have we not seen enough of him?
Sad Damn Sam's in Anaheim.
I know where he's at. Send him there. All right? Have we not seen enough of him? Have we not seen enough of these guys?
I have.
All right. Seriously. Tired of it.
The evaluation period is coming to an end early for certain guys.
Yeah. But because the thing about it, we don't have to wait to the first for the evaluation. You could be making moves before the evaluation of the first ends.
Wait a minute. I didn't understand that's how the evaluation period worked.
But I'm serious. You can sit there and say, okay, well, this guy's not here. And that's a part of evaluating because you're evaluating.
I think that's right.
You know, we don't got to wait to the first no more.
We'll get back into that a little bit later as we run the evaluation period meter on some of these guys and find out exactly where they are. I'm with you on Chad Sabatka. That's just the multiple frustrating performances in a row. But ultimately, yesterday, it didn't matter because the offense only scored one run. And Freddie Freeman hits a home run in the eighth inning, and the team was never really in the game. So we'll get back to the Braves a little bit later. On to story number two and the Georgia Bulldogs. G-Day tomorrow, Randy. Did you hear?
No.
We're going to be in Athens.
Well, there are our dogs. So.
They are. Our dogs. Yours, mine, Mark's. Wendy's. Well, Wendy's an unabashed Florida Gators fan, but that's okay.
And I like that. I like to stay loyal.
Be a fan. What are you looking forward to most?
I want to see the passing game because I don't think you're going to see a lot of running outside of Ryan Herrien and guys like that. But I'm anxious to see these receivers because you know they did lose the top receivers from last year. I want to see these guys catch the ball. I want to see how these young corners hold up also. But other than that, that's about it. That's about it because I don't see a lot of running the football with our guys. Don't see, you know, it's hard to say if it's going to be a sack or not because you know blow the whistle
right.
As soon
nobody's
going to
get
the quarterback.
Hit. That's fine.
So I think that's the most thing. I want to see the quarterbacks receive and also a backup quarterback situation.
That's what I want to see. We know Stetson Bennett. Yeah. We kind of know him. He was around a couple years ago, went to junior college and came back. Everybody likes him. What's the other kid's name? The 6'6" kid who could throw the ball 70 yards. I heard a guy from Dog Nation on This Morning with John and Hugh. I forget what his name is, but that guy sounds like fun to see.
Yeah.
I want to watch him play in person. 6'6", apparently runs a 10-8, 100-meter, and can throw the ball 70 yards.
Well, I mean, good for you. Can you do it when there's a defensive end breathing down your neck?
I don't know.
Yeah, tell me that.
I don't know if he can do that or not. I just want to see him play a little bit. That's all.
Tell me that right there.
I can't tell you that.
Okay, then.
I don't have that answer.
I tell people all the time, you know, that looks good. And I'm excited because – you know, we know this is the first spring in what, 2 years, 2-3 years that there hasn't been a big storyline about the quarterback position. And we were talking about that yesterday in the bullpen. It was like, well, what's the storyline up in G-Day? It really isn't one because it was before it was Jacob Eason, then last year it was the whole Justin Fields type thing. You don't really have that this year. So I think it should be a fun game. You're not going to see a whole lot. Nobody's going to really try and put none on tape for somebody to study throughout the rest of the offseason. So it should be fun.
DeJuan Mathis.
Oh, yeah, DeJuan.
6'4". I made him 6'6". He might not be as fast as I made him either. He might not be able to throw the ball 70 yards, but it sounded good. Atlanta United plays tomorrow as well, a chance to build upon what they did last weekend.
Is Barco going to start?
He should. He scored 2 goals last week and was the MLS Player of the Week. We talked to Jason Longshore about this on Wednesday, about how different FC Dallas is tactically versus what the New England Revolution were throwing at you. New England, not a very good team. So
I think that's the most important thing.
It'll be nice to see how they play against a better team, against better competition, because if they're going to be the team that we want them to be this year, not going to be able to beat up on New England every single weekend.
Yeah. I got a chance to catch some of Frank DeBoer yesterday when he was on with Dukes and Arch, and he said something key, and I kind of like what he said. He said it's more than about starting 11. Basically, that's what he was saying. We got all these guys. We're not just going to focus on the who's starting and who's not.
Interesting.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah, we'll hear a little bit more from Frank DeBoer later as well. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday afternoon, as was Dan Quinn. We'll let you hear that full interview in the 11 o'clock hour. Coming up next, though, a couple different quotes from Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff from their press conference yesterday and whether or not we learned anything about their draft strategy right after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I know where some of the blind spots for myself are after a few years. I know this is the week when the crazy stories come out. And so I always remember to keep the main thing, and that's the guy who can play.
I heard that one before.
The main thing.
The main thing that the Dan Quinnisms and Kirbyisms are overlapping now.
I mean, they know each other. They play. They coach together.
Yeah.
So.
That's eventually it was going to happen.
It was coming out, right?
It's like that picture, you know, that meme where Spider-Man is pointing at Spider-Man.
I still don't get that meme.
It's like we're the same.
Okay.
We're the same person. It's like if Dan Quinn and Kirby were pointing, I don't know. It was an attempt. I don't know whether or not it worked or not. Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael here with the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open, 404-741-0929. We're on Twitter as well, at TBM929 for me, at Randy Mac 81, and the station at 929 the game. We'll get the phone lines opened up in about 20 minutes or so as we continue to count down to the NFL draft. Less than a week away now. We got you covered here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game next Thursday with Randy, Mike Conti, Wes, and Dave from 7 to 11. And my question now is, based on everything that we've read and learned and watched and kind of decided that we thought the Falcons needed coming into yesterday, and then hearing from Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff yesterday, do you get any different sense? Like, do you have a pretty cemented idea of what you think is going to happen on Thursday night next week? Because I'll be honest with you, the more I read about it and the more I look at it and the more I listen to these guys talk, and after listening to them yesterday as well, I think I'm more confused now about what I think is going to happen next Thursday than I have been throughout the entire process.
Well, I told you yesterday, I'm starting to come back around to I don't know. Because every year we thought it was going to be something obvious. It never was, except for when they drafted Tack, but that was later in the draft. So, there's this class is so deep of the position of need that they need the most that Dan, he's an expert defensive line. That's his calling, defensive line. Can he find a guy? Because we thought he found a guy in Dean not to be the starter this year, right? We thought he was going to be the starter. So do they have a guy in mind that they might be able to get in the second round and go get a young offensive lineman? Because I said this earlier this week. Remember, I said they're going to eat some money somewhere on that offensive line. Of all those guys, they got money invested in those, you know, those patchwork guys.
Yeah,
they're going to eat some money because somebody's going to have to get released.
Right. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Because I'm thinking if you're drafting the offensive lineman in the first round, he got to play now.
He has to play now.
All right.
So you bring somebody in, and then there's a competition, whether it's real or a faux competition, whatever, at one of those spots, and then hopefully the draft pick beats him out.
Yeah.
So I guess hopefully, because then you'd have an upgrade. One of the interesting things that was said yesterday was about how much easier the draft has gotten for them this year because of the fact that they did a really good job in free agency. And of all the things that were said yesterday, that was the one where, you know, since we've been working together a lot lately, when I hear things, my face kind of makes a funny shape.
It does.
That was the one that made my face make a funny shape when I heard them say that, because I wasn't sure that free agency had been such a home run this offseason that it was going to make drafting so much easier.
Well, it's not really up to us anymore.
No, it isn't.
You know? And so that's
and
why
they told us that yesterday, too.
Of course, they had to make sure that
it's
we
not really
that.
Up to you. It's more up to us.
But the crazy thing is that they fill positions of need. Now, not saying the caliber of player filled the position. I'm talking about the actual position that they needed some depth that they were able to go out and get some of those guys. Now, as an outsider, all we can say is, like, this dude's a bum or he's not that good. You know, when this guy was out, considering how much money they had to spend, they filled enough needs where they can still go in the draft and maybe go somewhere different in the first round.
At a certain point, and tell me if you disagree with this, because I've been floating this theory out there for a little while. At a certain point, especially when you have a roster like the Falcons have right now, where you've got so much money invested in so few guys, when mm-hmm. it's a top-heavy salary cap like it is right now with Matt, what Julio's going to get, and Grady this year, and Vic this year, and other guys that are getting paid a lot of money, there are certain positions where you're going to have players that just aren't as good. You just can't have guys at certain positions that are up to the same standard as the other positions, because that's why you paid those guys. And that's why the draft is so important. But that's hard. Like, do you go about it saying to yourself, all right, this is one position where we can afford to have an average player? Or do you say to yourself, this is one position where we think that we can afford to draft a guy and have him start as a rookie?
Well, there's 32 teams that have average players that they need. They're more or less, they have to play this guy here because of what you said earlier about the salary cap. We can't go out and upgrade it a major way. Either we draft it or we go the Brian Fusco route or something like that. That's on every team.
Sure.
You always have serviceable starters. You know, they're not a superstar. They're not going to go Pro Bowls or whatever. They might be the weakest link up there on your offensive line, defensive line, or wherever, but we know what we can get out of him. You know what I'm saying? We know we can't do certain things because of this guy, but if we play to his strengths, then, you know, we can cover that up a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that. Playing to his strengths, maybe putting, if it's an offensive lineman, putting him in a position next to another offensive lineman where you can, I don't know, hide him, but cover him up and help him.
Exactly. They went to Super Bowl that way.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Because, again, once you start paying as many people as they're paying, I think the Falcons, once they get something done with Julio this year and his number comes down a little bit, this will change. But right now, they're one of the few teams in the NFL that have 40% of their salary cap invested in five guys between Matt, Julio, Grady, with all the guaranteed money he's getting this year because of the franchise tag. Hopefully that comes down too. That's a tough way to win because then you only have 60% to pay the other 48 guys.
But that's also the way you can win when you have a $100 million quarterback.
True.
And you draft well.
And you have to draft.
You have to draft well, which they have. And that's another it's a good problem to have because that means that you drafted well and these young players have developed. Like, it's a good problem to have to OD on and make him one of the highest paid middle linebackers in ball. He deserves it. He's played like it. Same thing with Keanu Neal. We always say they can't pay everybody, so who's going to be the odd man out? I think Devondre Campbell might be the odd man out, unless they go ahead and it's too late to try and do it now, but they, you know, just do like the Seattle mode with K.J. Wright. You know, he's not flashy, but he's so important to that defense. I look at Devondre a lot like I look at K.J. Wright.
Very similar.
You know, that's how, like, he's not flashy, he's not spectacular, but you know what you're going to get out. He's not going to make mistakes. He's going to be where he's supposed to be. And that's why, like, that's why you draft.
And somehow they got KJ to stay there multiple times on contracts that were lower than he probably could have gotten other places. Devondre Campbell's going to do that? I don't know. But you're right. The other way you go about that is you start to get guys behind them through the draft that you might be able to replace them with. And that's something we've talked a lot about with the defensive tackle position this year. If you're going to go with a guy that's similar to Grady, maybe it's because you like him and you want him to play this year alongside Grady. But there's also that backup plan of if Grady doesn't re-sign and doesn't end up being here long-term, you have him to replace Grady.
Right.
I think it seems to me like they're thinking that way at other positions, too. Dan Quinn was asked yesterday about the cornerback position.
It is definitely something that we always kind of keep your eye on. So there's certain spots based on the amount of passing that the league is in. It's over 60%. So rushers and corners, those are always at the front of your thinking, and you better keep thinking that way.
Cornerback is at the front of your thinking. I think I said on Monday to you, Randy, that I'd be surprised if it was a cornerback.
I think a lot of us would
be. Now it's Friday and I wouldn't be.
Now, because, you know, and I got D-Led. He was the first out there really talking about possibility of corner at 14 as far as the local media. Him and Vaughn, they were going back and forth about that. And now you're starting to see that it could be a possibility when you look at, you know, Isaiah Oliver. He's supposed to be moving up to that starting position. He's a typical, you know, cover three, long corner. But now, Dan, they're playing more man than they ever played. So, and that was under Marquand. So where do they go now as far as how they use him in coverage? Trufant, we know that, you know, his dead money cap was high this year. It's going to be high next year. Can he bounce back? Because outside of your first three guys with Trufant, Oliver, and then KZ, you're really at a hole right there. And then it comes, when does Ricardo Allen come back? Because if he's not back, KZ, I'm assuming – that they're going to keep KZ at that free safety position until he comes back.
You
got to bring another guy in.
Right.
And who's going to be the fourth corner? Blinky DeRay? Guys like that?
We've seen that.
Yeah.
We've seen that. So it's fine in very small doses. When you have to do that for games or months, then that's not a great situation.
And that goes back to, you know, maybe you should have kept Poole.
Maybe.
You know.
Maybe. And that was a big conversation when they decided to move on from him. But again, there was all those, like we talked about earlier, when you have everybody paid up top, that middle class of guy that is a talented guy kind of gets lost in the wash a little bit. And that's not just a Falcons problem. That's across the entire NFL.
Yes.
Now, that's also why when you draft a guy, he has to be able to play immediately. And that's what confuses me about the cornerback situation. If you draft a cornerback, in the first round, I know there's a lot of different clues that you can take from that. Is that telling you that you don't believe in Isaiah Oliver yet? Is that, I mean, that you don't think that that Rico is going to be back yet and you're going to have KZ at that cornerback position, like, or at that safety position? Like,
right.
Or are you just so, and this is, I'll get to this in a minute, but this is what I really hope doesn't happen, is they get to the mindset that they were in last year in the draft where, well, we did what we needed to do in free agency. We have such a talented roster already anyway. We can really do whatever we want.
Right.
It doesn't really matter. Which clearly was not the case, and I don't think is the case this year either.
I think they might think like that.
I think they might.
And you look at how it's become a passing league, Andy, and you're in a lot of multiple DB formations and all that. So you can look at it that way, but it's just they need a corner. They do. They need corners. You can never have enough. And we see how the game is going. You're seeing how much nickel corners are getting paid nowadays. You know, it used to be you put an old dude in there and going about it. But now they're getting paid. They're getting paid a lot of money now for these nickel corners because, you know, they're throwing the ball all over the yard. So you're going to need at least four or five type guys. But if you draft him in the first round, what's the first thing going to come to mind? They don't believe in Isaiah Oliver.
That's the first thing that's going to come to mind.
I don't think it has anything to do with Trufant, because I still think Trufant's going to be here because
– Well, he has to be.
He has to be. Exactly.
Money-wise.
He has to be.
He's one of those five guys. It's
Yeah, he has to be here. So that would be a shame. It would, because the obvious, just like we talk about the Braves, it's obvious what you need. Obvious. But
it was obvious last year.
Yeah, but they feel like with Davidson and them guys, he's been a starter in this league.
Yeah.
You know, do you need to go first round for that position when you got maybe you can go second, third round?
We'll play the audio clip from both Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff coming up next that makes us think that the Falcons have the same mentality that they had last year about best player available rather than position of need. Also, get the phone lines open, 404-741-0929. What would surprise you the most on Thursday? What would frustrate you the most? If the Falcons select blank at number 14, what frustrates you the most? All right.
I'll get a corner.
What do you guys think? 404-741-0929. We'll get to that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9 The Game and Relay for Life need your help. You could play a huge part in helping raise funds for the American Cancer Society to help cancer patients and survivors all across the country. Go to relayforlife.org/join. Look for the Game Changers team name and register for our team at the Relay for Life event on Friday, May 3rd in Marietta at Jim Miller Park. All right, we'll get out to the phone lines in just a minute. Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael here with you in the Kia studios. What would surprise you the most Thursday? What would frustrate you the most Thursday if Roger Goodell waddles up to the podium and says, with the number 14 pick, the Atlanta Falcons select blank? What name would make you the most irritated if it was the name that came out of his mouth? No, look, any name's going to be fun. I mean, we're going to find, even last year when it was Calvin Ridley, it was like, all right, okay, like, not exactly what I thought was going to happen.
But?
Not really what I wanted to happen.
But, like, okay.
But that's a good player.
He
and
is.
Now you've got three dynamic wide receivers in an offense with a good quarterback, so that'll be fun. Not really what we were looking for, which is why now we're back at the draft 365 days later talking about defensive tackles again. But I'll be honest with
you. They got a defensive tackle last year.
In the third round.
Yes.
And how surprised would you be if they get a defensive tackle this year in the third round?
Would not be.
Not surprised.
Would not be surprised.
That's the closer we get to it, that's my biggest takeaway.
This is a deep defense line.
It is.
It is a very deep class. So you can take that for whatever you want, how deep it is. And I know the first rounder is just like a five-star recruit in college. You put so much emphasis
right
on it because it's first. Or it's the most stars you can get. I mean, so – I trust Dan with the defensive lines because that's what he hangs his hat on. I trust that he knows that this guy in the fourth round right here, if we take him, how he's going to impact this game. So we'll see.
Dan Quinn talked yesterday about how he can be sure, or hopefully be sure, whether or not a guy when you draft him is ready to come in and make an immediate impact.
The only people that you're going to select are the ones that are going to fit for your team. And so that's a little different. And so you have to know, okay, for our team, it may be one number. For the league, it may be another. But at the end of the day, we're scouting for the Falcons.
So that's a big part of it. We talked about that yesterday. You know what your system is,
yes,
right? And having a clear system and a clear need helps. The thing that concerns me, and we were talking about this a minute ago, and this is the clip from Thomas Dimitroff that gives us the feeling that maybe they have the same mentality going into this year as they had last year, is – and that mentality being that any player that they like at a variety of different positions
right
is acceptable in the first round, is that they feel really good about the way that free agency went, so they think they can do whatever they want on Thursday.
I just feel like we go into the draft with, you know, in a really good place, and we don't feel the same amount of pressure going into the draft having to get, you know, all these depth areas taken care of. And that's a really – that's a good feeling going in as co-team builders, knowing that the pressure's not there to pop three D linemen and this guy and that guy and offensive lineman.
I love how you said co-team builders.
Yeah, they're sticking with that one.
I like the co-team.
I do too. It's true.
And they have the thing, Andy, is when is the last time they had pressure was when Arthur put it on them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about we need four starters. And they got four starters out of that draft.
Well, say it again then.
Yeah, say it again. But do you remember that
I do.
We need this
the 16 draft, and
yeah,
they got it.
And they got it. So that's how maybe Arthur needs to come out, you know, just say, hey, we need to get some starters.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they look at it as, hey, we got to – because a lot of times, a lot of teams, just because you don't come out the tunnel, you know, when they introduced the starting lineup, a lot of people look at the third corner as a starter. You know, a lot of people do. They look at him as a starter. And you know the rotation. There's no position that's rotated more than the defensive line.
Right.
And so you can have bodies up there. And they wouldn't got bodies. Now, a lot of these guys, and I went down the list of starter, fringe-type players. A lot of these players that they signed, especially on the defensive side, the defensive ends, especially outside of Claiborne, are fringe players to me. It's hit or miss. And now I'm starting to believe that some of these offensive linemen that they signed are fringe players, because if you go first round with the draft as an offensive lineman, we expect him to be the starter. Well, where are you going to start at? Because you gave Sombrella money. You gave Jamon Brown money. You gave James Carpenter money. Fusco's still on his deal. So somebody got to go. I mean, you don't want to have all – if you go – you're not, I don't think – the Falcons are not in position, in my opinion, to draft a young lineman and let him sit this year.
No, I agree with that. The Falcons aren't in a position to draft anyone and let them sit this year.
I just don't see that.
I mean, that's the one thing that's been consistent about the entire offseason is whether it's coaching moves or free agency moves or whatever.
Everyone, I mean first round.
Right.
Yes.
Everyone that they get is somebody who either has been here or was here in the past, was here last year, or is familiar with what they want to do. Because we understand what 2019 is.
Yeah.
It's go time. I mean, you got to win. Otherwise, you're not going to be here in 2020. So, yeah, you can't draft an offensive lineman at number 14 and let him sit for a couple years. And, oh, hopefully he'll be ready later. Yeah. Now you can't do that. Now, I do like the idea of having great competition.
Of course.
And bringing somebody in and having the best possible offensive line, because that was clearly one of the deficiencies of the team last year. What about you guys, though? 404-741-0929. What name, what position, what decision at number 14 would surprise you the most next Thursday? Maybe frustrate you the most next Thursday. We'll start with Dwayne in Atlanta. What's up, Dwayne?
What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Not much.
Okay, so the position that'll most frustrate me, but won't probably be the most surprising to me, if they draft a wide receiver at number 14. Now, let me tell you why. The Falcons, whenever we least suspect it, the Falcons will draft a wide receiver out of nowhere. It's like they think that's the panacea to all their football ills. For some reason, I mean, I unsuspectingly, the Falcons drafted a top wide receiver, and I'll be frustrated, but I won't be so surprised.
That'd be something.
That'd be something.
I guess
if they go DK Metcalf at 14 or somebody, oh, yeah, that'd be a shock. Like, oh. Because especially if you're talking about giving Julio more money, you got another first-round pick. Yeah, that'd be really interesting.
We're going five wide every play.
Yeah, let's just throw it around. Let's just huck it around.
Good. You're right, Dwayne. That would be incredibly surprising. Frank's in Powder Springs. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. Yeah, going with Dwayne. Any offensive skill player, I'd be like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
With that. But now also, you know, touching on what you guys are saying is, I don't even think – if I hear the name Jonah Williams, and I'm an Alabama fan. Uh-huh. If I see the name Jonah Williams, I will lose my everything.
Why?
I've
Why?
Seen the guy
Why?
Play against – I saw how he played against good competition, LSU, Clemson, and he did not hold blocks. He got thrown around. He's a great, talented player, but he might have to sit. He's not going to sit in there and be like that, all right, we got to tackle now for the next 7 years.
Right.
You know, I don't see him as that. Hmm. Now, I got a question for you guys, though.
Sure.
I see a glaring weakness. I see a glaring weakness left. And, I mean, if we go to defense, I'll be happy. Corner, yeah, okay. Like you said, we need corners. There's a glaring weakness to linebacker. It's been the last 3 years at linebacker. We have two good starters. We have one star and one good guy. It's solid. And we got hope. We got hope and we got wishing,
right?
Because we got Foyer, and then we got, you know, I'll say his name, Duke. Hopefully,
you didn't want to say his name. I think that you got to go back 2 years ago.
You got to get a linebacker. He's right.
You do.
Olga Hahn. He played well.
He did.
He played well.
He's a rookie six-round draft pick out of Yale.
They're looking at him to be the starting Will weak side linebacker, as they like to call the Will linebacker. But no, he's right. They got to find another player. And for anything, Andy, you got to have that depth. But the one phase that always gets left out is special teams. You got to, because they were not good at covering kicks last year. And you got to get guys that can, and most of them are, we call them the middle skill, the linebackers, tight ends, running backs that can run down, cover kicks, and also block.
Yes. And that's one thing that Foye Aluakin can do as well.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why he made the team originally. They weren't planning on him playing as many snaps as he did. Injuries made that happen. But I also think, and again, tell me if this is not correct. You go back 2 years ago when Deion Jones was healthy,
mm-hmm.
that linebacking core looks a lot better
yes.
when guys are in the positions they're supposed to be in
right.
because Debo's there in the middle cleaning everything up.
Right.
I think that goes back to looking that way this year with a year older Devondre. Because Devondre Campbell was the main guy.
Dude, and
last year.
He played well.
He played very well.
Played really good.
Yeah.
And he's gotten better and better. And that's why I said, I always look out to out there in Seattle. You look at KJ Wright, you look at Bobby Wagner, and how long they've been together. I think Dan envisioned when he drafted Deion Devondre, he had that vision in mind. Because they're both so similar, as you talk about how big KJ Wright is, how big Devondre is, speedy, because Wags can run better than anybody.
Yeah.
And then you got Deion. I mean, I'm almost positive that's what he envisioned.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel pretty safe with that. Yeah. Dan Quinn's been using a pretty clear blueprint.
Keanu, you got Cam Chancellor.
They thought Jalen was maybe going to be Richard Sherman, and then he's gone, and now maybe Isaiah Oliver is going to be that. We'll see. Yes, I agree with you 100%. Thanks for the calls. What?
You see the vision.
I see the vision. Hopefully it happens and isn't just a vision in our minds it's on the field. We'll keep the conversation rolling about the Falcons draft in the 11 o'clock hour, but as we turn the page to an NFL no huddle, take a look around the rest of the league, but also hear a little bit more from Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bye, bye, bye. And I like that idea. That sounds great. Call me NSYNC. Bye, bye, bye. Ugh, embarrassing. Bye, bye, bye. The worst every single time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael in the Kia studios. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line's open, 404-741-0929. See a couple more folks on hold here. Wanted to talk about what would surprise them the most on Thursday.
Yeah. My man Eric, he always has some good stuff. We talk about too. He said Devin White at 14. I couldn't get mad at a Devin White pick.
Oh, no.
But he's not going to be there at
14. It would surprise me. But it would make me happy.
I can't get mad about that.
No, that would be great.
That'd be great, but yeah.
There are people that think that he's the most talented player in the entire draft.
I mean, you can't go wrong with that guy.
Yeah.
You know, but he won't be there.
Probably not.
No.
Now, it would continue the streak. This is Dan Quinn's fifth draft, right? That would continue the streak of an LSU player every year.
Yeah,
then maybe Greedy Williams could be the guy, or maybe there'll be another LSU player at some point throughout the draft. But that has been the one thing that they've done every single year. Now, in years past, it's been at the top, and you know the names. Last year, it was Russell Gage, That was a productive player last year.
They picked him for what he does. He covers kicks.
Exactly.
He covers kicks.
And I think he caught a pass or two later in the season.
He covered kicks.
He is a special teamer.
Yes.
And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. I'm going to peek behind the curtain here just briefly. Yeah, Wendy gives me this stack of – Wendy Adams producing the show. She gives me a stack of these live reads every day to do.
Uh-huh.
This one here, I'll do it a little bit later. It's about the draft coverage that involves you. There's one about our G-Day coverage here. I'll read that one a little bit later, too, just to let people know what's going on at the radio station, you know, promote stuff.
Correct.
In the stack of papers today was a weird picture.
Of Samuel Tarly.
Of Samuel Tarly.
Yes.
From not Brian Gebhardt, who Dukes and Bell call Samuel Tarly, but the actual Samuel Tarly from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I don't know why. I'm glad it was in there. It made me laugh, and it made everyone else laugh when I showed it to you guys earlier on. But it just kind of snuck in there.
It's kind of funny.
And now I just, every day, like, it would be great if there was some weird picture snuck into the stack of live reads.
I mean,
it's a lot more fun than the live reads.
I don't know why that you're so tickled by that, but you are.
Just because every day I get these.
Right.
And every day it's just business. And then today there's this weird picture of Samuel Tarly.
That's all it is.
And I liked it.
I like it.
If somebody said you looked like that, would you be happy about that?
No, I would not.
That's why I don't call Brian Gebhardt Samuel Tarly.
I never call him that. That's my man.
I'll never call him that.
Yeah,
I just call him Brian or BG.
Yeah.
Or Gebby sometimes.
I would not call him Gebby, but I just call him B. Majority of the time, I just call him B.
I tweeted out a picture of it at TBM929 if you want to see it. You probably already know what he looks like, though. With all of that said, in 20 minutes, we're going to let you hear Dan Quinn's conversation with Carl Dukes yesterday. Sat down with Dukes. And a lot of interesting stuff in there. A lot of interesting stuff about Vic Beasley in there.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that coming up in 20 minutes. We'll also get to the Wendy Zone at 11:40.
Bang, bang.
Before we do any of that, though, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With Andy's NFL no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go!
Before we get to some of these other draft stories, I see Robert in Atlanta has been hanging on hold throughout that entire break.
Okay.
He wanted to tell us what would surprise him the most at number 14. Robert?
I'll tell you what. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Sure.
The name that would surprise me the most is if they take a cornerback, anybody that's not named DeAndre Banks.
So tell me this, Robert. You like DeAndre better than Greedy?
Well, because I'm a DGD to the heart, I'm a dog
my
to the
man.
Heart, of course.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Appreciate it, Robert.
Yeah.
Love the DGDs, man.
You're one.
Oh, you better believe it.
Mark Owens is one.
Yes, you better believe it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I like DeAndre. Is the only thing I would say about DeAndre that takes away from it is he's not big like Dan likes his corners. Agreed, he's a bigger guy at that cornerback position. That's the only thing. But I wouldn't be mad at DeAndre Baker right there. But as we're talking, and it seems like, Bucky, ever since we're getting closer to the draft, it just seems like cornerback is – because my man Chuck, he always says the same thing. They like shiny objects in the first round.
They do. Is Calvin Ridley anything – I mean, he's obviously a very talented player.
Yes.
But is there a better example of a shiny object in the first round with something you did not need than Calvin Ridley last year?
Nothing. Because you needed a receiver.
Yeah.
You did. But you need that one. I'm not mad.
I'm glad they got him. That's always the thing. I hate – me and Mark Owens were talking about this earlier about Craig Kimbrell. When you have that conversation and you talk about positions of need and not wanting that, then you become the guy who's arguing against Calvin Ridley, and I don't want to be that guy because I like Calvin Ridley, and I'm glad that he's here.
I got something for you, and this throws more into that everything. Our guy D-Led just tweets out, Falcons to re-sign D-tackle Rashid Hageman today.
Ooh.
So.
Another one.
So that lets you know that. And I got this. It's so funny. I got it written down on this paper. It says Hageman on the rundown. Hageman said, update. I said, he would be a good fit in a limited role. I did, wrote that down this morning.
Is it true? Is that true?
Yes.
Let me see.
Yeah, there you go. And it's on page one.
Oh,
so,
yeah, there it is. Yeah, that's right. It's on page one. He wrote it down right there.
So you're looking at him. Dan knows how to get Mark. I know Mark's talking mess about me. You know.
We said you wrote it down right next to ask Terry for something.
No, I don't know.
Ask.
I try to stay away from that. But
ask Terry for more money for both of us.
Again, I try not to ask him. But again,
all four of us.
But he's
everybody.
Dan knows how to get the best out of him in a limited role. So I don't mind assigning. I know some other people are going, but he did. You saw flashes of him being able to give you something.
Well, and here's what it is. It's exactly the same thing they've done throughout the entire offseason. He's a guy who's been here.
Robert Claiborne.
He knows what they do. He knows the system. Like, it's very obvious what all of these moves have said.
Yeah.
Like, we need to win. We can't have anybody in here that needs to be taught very much.
Yes.
Especially because he's going to have to spend so much time teaching Vic Beasley stuff. It's going to be hands-on.
That's what he said he was doing.
And again, we'll let you hear Dan Quinn get a little bit more in-depth about what that's going to look like with Vic Beasley when he talked with Carl Dukes yesterday. We'll do that in about 15 minutes. But that's very interesting. And again, that's another defensive lineman, which is the entire offseason has been defensive lineman and offensive lineman, which we understand, or at least we agree, are the two biggest positions of need for this team.
Yeah,
so at least they've done that, right? So they've addressed the positions of need. I meant more through the draft, though, in terms of positions of need. But here we go. Honestly, the longer this week goes, and by the time we get to 2 o'clock, I think I'll be 100% convinced that they're going to draft a cornerback.
What if they go safety?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that would tell you something about Rico.
But is there a safety that you can take that high? Probably the kid out of Alabama, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't have any names in front of me on that. But
And another guy is linked, Byron Murray, the kid out of your school.
He's a ball hawk. Yeah. Byron Murphy.
He's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah, he's a redshirt sophomore.
I don't know about, but I like Byron Murphy a lot. Mm-hmm. I would love to have seen him play one more year in college just to really see.
Right.
Because he's young, so his body is still young.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that's going to look like in the NFL. Again, he's incredible at getting into the football. Tons of interceptions last. Oh, yeah, he is. But I don't know how physical he's going to be able to be in the NFL. But I'm not sure. I mean, people really like him, and you see him moving up. Another name that you see moving up is Rock. I don't know if I'm saying this right.
Get out of Temple.
And out of DeKalb. He's from DeKalb. Yeah. Rock Yassin. Is that how you say his name?
I think that's how you say it.
He was a wrestling state champion.
And they love that. For some reason, all the teams are like really like diving on that.
Dan Quinn actually talked about. He was asked about him and talked about him yesterday.
You don't hear a lot of corners who were state champions wrestling, and such an unusual background. You've heard some certainly through the year. He was a state champion, you know, sprinter. He was, point guard. But to hear that kind of toughness and the physicality he has, and meeting him, what an impressive guy, and what he's done in a short time. To say that Temple knew what they were taking on a year ago. I would say, yeah, we knew all like, not so fast, But I would say, what a good opportunity for him to take advantage of that.
I think it's a little too high, though. I think 14's too high.
Yeah.
14's a little too high.
A little too high.
Yeah.
He was a second-round guy for a long time. And I guess he's impressed throughout workouts and stuff. And he's now kind of moving his way into that first-round conversation.
Yeah.
But would that surprise you, though?
At 14? Like,
That would?
Yeah.
But the thing that wouldn't surprise me about him is them falling in love with that other stuff. Because you know Dan Quinn always likes that other stuff.
Yes.
The fact that he was a wrestling state champion, and the fact that he was a point guard on the basketball team, and the fact that he was a sprinting state champion, and maybe even being from here. I don't know how much that matters, but it might add a little extra sprinkle on top of it, too. And then the thing that really has blown people away about him is when they talk to him. I think that's the thing you continuously hear about Rock is he's just a really impressive guy. So I'm not going to pretend to be an evaluator, but I just read so much about him yesterday. I was like, all right, let me go look at a couple YouTube videos of Rock Yassine. He's tough.
Yeah, he can play.
Yeah, he can. Now, it was against Buffalo and Tulsa.
Tough is tough.
But yeah, tough is tough. And athletic is athletic.
Yes.
And again, we know how much they value that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So it would surprise me if his name was the one that was called.
Out of all the other ones,
but cornerback
Trayvon Miller, the kid out of Clemson,
Greedy.
It would surprise
DeAndre.
Me.
Because here's the thing: you might be able to get one of those guys in the second round.
And that's the thing about it.
And you got nine picks.
I mean, he drafted Jalen in third round. I mean, second round.
Yeah.
He drafted
Isaiah
in the second
round.
So we'll see, man. That's interesting, though. But, yeah, a lot of teams are talking about how impressive this young man was, and they all bring up the state wrestling thing. And that's why I tell people all the time, when you're being evaluated by these NFL teams, they go all the way back to high school.
They
talk to your guidance counselor in high school. They talk to everybody. Don't think that's not made up at all.
Of course not. No. And they should. I mean, you said it yesterday, and you're right. Or maybe earlier in the week. I don't remember when. At this point, they're looking for reasons not to pick you. Because they found all the reasons why they like you.
Yes.
You're athletic. Yes. You played well in college. You've got all this tape. You've heard this, that from coaches. Now they're looking for the stuff that's under the rock. Oh, you did that. Oh, that's in the closet.
Yep.
Oh,
you have this many days of detention. Oh, you were late to school a lot, huh?
Oh, you've had weight problems throughout college when you had a meal plan and you were supposed to be working out. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff all comes up now. But, again, the more time goes by, the more I believe that they're looking at defensive backfield. We'll let you hear from Dan Quinn and what he said to Carl Dukes coming up in about 10 minutes. Now, this isn't listed on our NFL No Huddle topics. I'm just going to bring it up because I find it interesting, okay?
All right.
You might not, but I do. The lawyers in the Robert Kraft case are claiming that someone is trying to sell the Kraft video and release it to the public.
Okay, here's my thing. All right.
I thought you'd have a thing on this.
Okay. I get why TMZ, because that's what they
do.
But the prosecutor,
gold.
Why do you think somebody would want to see that? That is my whole thing with the Robert Kraft video thing. Why do you think people want to see that? If in case he is getting the sexual whatever, why do you want to see it? Okay, you took too damn long to respond, Andy.
I don't want to see it.
You took too long to respond, Andy. Yeah, you do.
No.
You're going to click on it.
I'm going to click on it.
Yeah, see, I'm not clicking on it.
I don't want to see
it. Yes, you do. It took you too long to respond.
No, but it's not like something that I'm like excited about. Like, oh, I can't wait till that happens.
No. All right.
Like, I'm excited about going to the Grindhouse in Athens tonight. That's something I'm excited. I can't wait.
Andy, you're supposed to say no. As soon as that question was posed, because my man Travis Johnson, my brother, he tweeted out something the other day. It was so funny. Talking about, you remember in life when they were old and they were in the retirement home playing cards and that old man had his robe flew over.
Yes.
I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see no old. You know, nobody
want to
see that.
I don't want to see it, but there's just a
why are they so adamant about releasing this videotape?
To embarrass him.
I know, but
that's why.
But you're not going to – that man is a billionaire several times over.
Do you think that billionaires are incapable of being embarrassed?
I do believe
just
that.
Because there's an amount of money that you get to where you can't be embarrassed? Because I don't think that's true. I think there's certain things that can happen to you no matter how much money you have.
If he was not an NFL owner and just a billionaire, he wouldn't care.
Right.
He wouldn't care.
Right. But he's a public figure.
I get all that. But
he's buddies with all these rappers.
He's
got a public persona.
Why is this so important that we show this man?
It isn't.
But you just said, I asked you, I said, Andy, you going to look at it? And you did not say no to start the answer. You were like,
Well, the answer is yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Why do you want to see Robert Kraft?
I'm not sure.
If
I don't know.
This is the case where they got, why do we want to see that?
There's just a morbid curiosity.
And
what,
I don't know,
of what it looks like?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know how long I'll watch it.
Mark Owens, you're shaking your head. You want to see it?
You don't want to see
it. You're curious.
I don't think anybody wants to see it. It's not one of those things that you're like, oh, dude, this is going to be the best when this happens.
You know, we had a conversation earlier this week about being scarred about your parents sleeping, you know. Mm-hmm. We had that conversation.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
This is something that, you can't unsee this. Mm-hmm. You can't unsee, like, every time you see Robert Kraft in the box with Bon Jovi and Mark Wahlberg, that's going to be the first thought you think of, isn't it?
It might.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So why you want to see that?
Again, I don't know what the word is. There's probably a word for it, because want is not the word for it. I don't want to see it. I just know that if it becomes available,
right,
and I'm just on Twitter hanging out, probably not at work. That'd probably be a bad idea. But somewhere, maybe on my laptop, I don't know, home, couch, not sure. And it scrolls through my Twitter timeline, and it's available, I probably just click on it. I'm not proud of that.
I know.
This might lose me some friends.
I'm lost because I don't understand. I don't understand what is the fascination on watching Robert Kraft his private on a screen.
I don't know.
I just don't get it.
Yeah,
like it's Robert Kraft.
I don't get it either. I don't get it either. But I'm just, you know, I'm just being honest with you, Randy. Like.
At least you're being honest.
Yeah, I'm being honest.
Because a lot of people are going to click on it.
A lot of people are going to click on it.
I didn't watch it.
Exactly. Because that's going to be the thing. It's going to have 10 million clicks.
Yes.
And zero people watched it.
I have no reason to watch it.
Oh, nobody saw it, but it got clicked on 10 million times? How'd that happen?
I have no reason to want to watch it.
And that's fine. Yes. Neither do I.
But you're going to watch it.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
maybe I won't.
No, you're going to watch
it. It'll be a game time decision.
You're going to be like, let me get another drink real quick.
Now, it's not one of those things. I'm not, like, prepping myself up to get excited to do it. There's just a chance it might just be like, hell, whatever, click. Oh, gross, why'd I do that? I'll immediately regret it.
You'll never be able to unsee.
That's something that you can't forget.
Yes.
Like you said earlier, parent stuff. It's not good.
Scarred.
I just know. Schadenfreude, is that what it is? Inflicting pain? Masochism? I don't know what it is. Schadenfreude is when you want pain on other people. I don't know. I don't know German. We'll come back and Carl Dukes used to live in Germany at some point.
I lived over there.
And so did you. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect tie-in. Carl Dukes interviewed Dan Quinn yesterday. It was an amazing conversation. If you missed it, you'll hear it next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Radio 92.9 The Game. Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael here with you in the Kia Studios. We'll get to the Wendy Zone coming up in 20 minutes. This hour brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews precision tune-up, another way they make you smile. Well, with the draft less than a week away, head coach Dan Quinn was on with Carl Dukes yesterday. Carl started by asking him, what are the Falcons' draft needs?
Yeah, kind of think about putting a puzzle together. You know, when the season ends and there's changes that take place, and so you start during that puzzle and you add some in free agency, and then you add some more into the draft. I absolutely love this time of year because as you're going around, you know, the country and working out guys and combine, you're getting to see how they would fit on your team. So there's a number of spots with 9 draft picks. You want to really say, okay, how can these guys make an impact? There may be some guys that that are selected that have a really significant role on teams or honestly, a really critical backup. Some of the guys we would hope can come and contribute to start right away. Good news is we got a really good team. And we need to add some guys for sure, but there's not one, you know, gaping space you say, okay, that's just, you know, every night when you go to bed flashing in your head or when you wake up in the morning. But there definitely are some target areas, and I'll always, you know, kind of highlight the lines of scrimmage, you know, the offensive line and defensive line, and outside, you know, at corner because of, you know, how many receivers are playing and the amount of really good receivers there. And then the speed part of it at linebacker, you know, to defend and guard the good backs that we have in the league and certainly in our division. So that's, you know, some of the things that go through your mind. And when you go through the board, kind of the fun part is you go player versus player, but not necessarily at the same position. So if you and I had the same exact grade, you know, how does it differ horizontally? Okay, now we can get into some specific needs. And what I try to do is communicate to TD after watching and evaluating the player, what that guy would do on the team this year and in some, you know, how soon can we get him to play and how would he contribute and just try to find the things that they do best and then highlight them. So long question, but I always are thinking about the team and which guys can help the team the best. And sometimes it's four or five, six guys that I think will help the team this year. Not all of them will start. Some will. But as we're going through it, you know, we got to see who can impact the team the most.
It's Dan Quinn, our head football coach, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. DQ, what's the most important factor in drafting a player for you?
I think the biggest thing is finding the best fit. And why I say that is because there's a lot of really, you know, guys who have a lot of talent. But for us, it's, you know, you want players that are talented. And so, you know, best guy, right guy. If it's the right guy, it is the best guy. And so I would say when the guy comes to your team, how are you going to feature that player? And so to me, that's the factor of having a real clear vision of what that player would do for your team. So often in evaluating and scouting, you see the guy, let's just use a receiver for an example, and he makes these impact plays, and what do you do? And then when he gets onto your team, how would you then feature that player? Same thing at running back, you know, if you're, you know, a wide zone team or somebody that, you know, wants to get the ball outside, you better draft a player that has the speed to get to the edge. And the same thing, if you're going to play a bunch of man-to-man, you better have some corners that can get up and press and play on guys. And so I think it's you know, the best fit is really important, because if you just went on just talent alone, I think you could miss something. So it's the best fit, which kind of encompasses the whole thing. So the most important factor is finding the right fit for your team.
You know, it's funny, Coach. We talk about this a lot on the show, you know, sometimes we get animated. DQ's a defensive coach. He wants a defensive guy in this draft. And we're pounding our hands on the desk, and we're saying, you know, he's going to go defense. What determines offense or defense for you guys? I mean, is it simply the best player and that's what it is? Or do you go in with that plan that we're going to go get a defensive guy?
It goes, that's a good question. And here's how I'll answer it. As you're going through, you know, when you get into the draft, there's not just one player that you're targeting. You know, there's a number of guys. And so sometimes a player may have different value based on where he is. So if the guy's high, and like a few years ago, we drafted Keanu Neal at strong safety, and we really wanted his identity and toughness and physicality. So it was so clear of how he would play on our team. And I think at first people were like, you know, that's an unusual pick or anything. And then once they saw him play as a member of this team and in the system, I think then it was more like, I get it. And so finding the right person at the right spot in the draft, that's like the most difficult part of it. And if you really think the guy can make an impact, then move him up, because he's going to be the one that's going to affect your team. And so if it's an offensive player who can have a real impact, go after him. And if it's a defensive player who can have a real impact, go after him. I love guys who love to attack. And so that's usually in the front of my thinking, whether it's a defensive player or an offensive player, how are they going to go attack? And when they do that, you know, what impact will that have on the team?
Yeah, Coach, I'm guilty of that. I can't lie. A couple of years ago, I'm like, Neil! And then the season and then the season played out, and I was like, damn, that was a good pick.
Right. Then you're like, Neil.
Exactly.
Right. Love that guy.
I love him. It is Dan Quinn, our head football coach, guys, of our Atlanta Falcons. The NFL draft right around the corner. Coach, I want to ask you this question. It's something we've talked a lot about on our show, and I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I want to ask you this. How are you going to make Vic Beasley better? Our audience has asked this time and time, and they've gone, you know, Dukes and Bell. I hear Coach say this. I don't know. I mean, listen, I've been around football all my life. I played. But at the end of the day, everybody's asking this question. So I want to pose it to you. How are you going to make Vic better?
Yeah, and I think what people are wanting is, you know, when you extend somebody, and then we did a, you know, a fifth-year option with him, I think, number one, you believe in the player. And I think he's going to have a hell of a year. So we wouldn't have extended him for the year if we didn't have that belief in what he can do. And so those are the things. So when I took over the role as defensive coordinator, there's a number of things that are changing on our defense and how we feature the players and some of the calls that we'll try to do differently. I went back through over the last, you know, 6 years of my defensive life from Seattle to Atlanta, and I threw it all into one big cut of thousands of plays. And I looked at the trends and, you know, what we did then compared to what we can do now, and what things offensively are attacking things in certain ways. So it is my hope and belief that Vic, amongst others, will really elevate their game, some to different levels than others. But I think to answer you and the fans' questions of why you extend somebody out, one, it starts with belief in what you think they can do, and two, if we didn't think that, you know, we would have never have done that. So I think the guy's going to have a hell of a year. He can really rip it off the edge. And so we went through just recently all the things that we're, you know, attacking as we're going through the off season. And I think many, yourself included, will be like, I get it. And much like you did on the Keanu side. So we have a lot of belief in him, and we're going to go after it like crazy. And he knows that too.
Listen, we trust you. I've said this time and time on the show, you know, we have our opinions, but we definitely trust you because we've been there. We just didn't get it done, but we know what we've got. It's Coach Quinn here with us on Dukes and Bell. As a defensive coach with the new rules, the pass interference rules, offensive and defense, are you going to teach differently with the DBs?
You know, we're not going to teach differently, but here's the thing I think we can do better. And so it's fascinating about this because I think what you and the fans want to know is, remember how difficult it was when that's a catch, that's not a catch. And then we did better to say 2 feet in a football move or one body part in a football move. And it became clear, didn't it?
Yes.
And so I'm hopeful that anybody who's, you know, watching a game or at a bar, it could be clearly say that's interference or that's not interference. And so for us to challenge that play or for, you know, inside of 2 minutes for the, you know, the replay official to challenge that, it's going to have to be really clear standards. But as far as it goes, that particular rule, I think you're always working to say, how can we do it better? You know when it really gets you? Like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, when you're getting the PI because there's some things that happen bad there. One, it's the yards that are gained. But you know what also happens? The clock stops. And so it's like in those moments, when do I take a shot? When don't I take a shot? And I think if we can play situationally better, and I'm hopeful that some of the new things that we're adding to the package can do that. And the discipline that it'll take, we're certainly excited about having Isaiah Oliver on the outside and Devondre and hoping to get Kiki back on, you know, the tight ends and true outside. So it's a big topic and you're on the right one. But we won't teach it differently because the standard of what's pass interference, both offensively and defensively, let's make sure that's really clear. But we won't teach any differently. Man, do we want to play aggressive and make people release, you know, off the line of scrimmage. Like no free access for receivers to get down the field. We want to really challenge the guys at the line as often as we can.
Coach, everybody's talking about the schedule. I have to ask you. It's out now. We know who, when, where, what time we're playing. How do you feel about all of the division games coming up after our bye week, November 3rd?
I thought it seems like the last few years the league made a shift on that, and I think it's been awesome because as it comes, you know the rivals of the division games and how cool it is. And so I love having one on a Thursday night, on Thanksgiving night. I mean, like, Thanksgiving in Atlanta is going to be rocking. And, like, that's going to be cool as hell. So I like them. Quite honestly, I like the division games. But if you play three times a year in the division, I'd be down with that. You know, like, they're awesome to because the fight, the attitude, you know them, they know you. It's like, you know, kind of the fun part about boxing and why we love, you know, the rematch as well. We get to do it twice a year. And sometimes in the playoffs, three times, you know, depending on how it goes. So I think it's really cool. I think they did a good job with it. You know who you play. But it is fun, isn't it, when you find out when you play.
Yeah.
And I think through the offseason, the coaches, you know, we look at the schedule and who the teams add and how we look at them. And but once you get the flow of how it all goes down, you make some special, you know, planning about who you need more time on earlier from an opponent.
DQ, I know you got to run. We appreciate it. I do want to ask you quickly just one other thing. What are your thoughts on Grady and Julio? I know that hopefully these situations will get worked out, but we don't get a chance to visit with you as much in the offseason.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on Julio's contract situation and certainly Grady being franchised?
Yeah, I think one of the great parts about Arthur and through ownership here, he's done a fantastic job, you know, kind of providing the leadership to – make sure that, you know, guys like who and Grady are well compensated for what they do. Both of the guys are really impactful guys here on the field, in the locker room. So I'm confident that the team and their representatives will get together and get worked out. we got a bunch of football, good football guys here, and they do representing them. So usually when you get good football people together and for the best, you know, for the player, and it's a win for the player and for the, you know, for the team, we'll work it out. But we're hopeful that, they get that business side of things taken care of. And sometimes the business and the football intersects, and that's totally okay. So it's a matter of working it all out so we can get the best program for both of them.
Great stuff from Dan Quinn yesterday on with Carl Dukes. We'll react more to some of what he had to say, as well as the fact that the Falcons have re-signed Rashid Hageman, coming up at the top of the 12 o'clock hour. Coming up next, though, the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams in studio.
Hey.
And I hear we have a Jeopardy update from yesterday.
Okay.
You know, we got the guy setting the Jeopardy record. We've got an update on that. We'll get into that next in the Wendy Zone. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You guys giving Tanitra a hard time.
You ever call a friend baby?
Nope.
Did you?
No.
No. I think that would be very awkward.
No. Just a significant, and I don't call my wife baby. She calls me that sometimes. I like it.
That's what we call each other.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. It's nice. Like, but that's your wife.
If I call her by her first name, she gets mad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Like, what'd you call me? Oh, my bad.
If I call her by her first name, she knows that I'm going to, like, ask something serious.
Oh.
Hey, Ashley. What? Well,
just ask me.
Can we stay in the same room now?
As Jarvis tonight and that. Still can't believe that was a thing.
I'm afraid this still might be a possibility.
No, it's not.
Someone might get double booked or something.
Well, because there are there's like weird stuff going on. Like,
what do you mean?
We found
stuff?
Out that we thought there was a certain amount of rooms, but there happens to be more. So the room that we bought in Athens didn't necessarily extra room that we bought in Athens maybe didn't need to be bought. So we're trying to actually, if somebody needs a room in Athens, I put it out on Twitter. If somebody's looking for a room tonight to stay for G-Day tomorrow, hit me up in the DM. But then you're right. Then maybe we get there, and then it's like, oh, we actually don't have as many rooms as we thought. And then we end up staying in the room with Jarvis after all.
That would be tremendous if it just ended up.
No, she's coming back home.
It would be funny for a minute
until she drove back to
Atlanta.
She's coming back home.
Yeah, I'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, oh, all right. Great.
Well, Andy, you teased a Jeopardy update. I'm going to give it to you because I mentioned James Holzhauer yesterday. He's the professional sports gambler from Las Vegas. He shattered the total for his 10-day winnings yesterday. Well, he won again last night. It's his 11th straight win, and I believe he made around $77,000 just on last night's show.
Feels like a disappointment.
Yeah, that's it.
Compared to $131,000.
But he has this weird strategy, and I was watching it yesterday. So his strategy is, during Double Jeopardy, which is always the second round, he starts with the harder questions. Mm. So essentially he'll pick like the $1,000 ones over the $600 questions to start with.
Sure.
That way he builds up his money total, so when he gets to a Double Jeopardy or hits it, he can double his money that much more.
Oh, that's really smart.
That's smart. Really smart.
And so then when he makes the daily double bets, he often goes with numbers that correspond with dates in his life, like his anniversary, loved ones, birthdays. So he winds up with like totals like $89,158.
So this guy's just a total badass.
He's
just out there showing off.
That's what he does. I bet he counts cards and everything.
Well, in his final Jeopardy question yesterday, because I wanted to watch it just to see if he won again, he thanked like two of his family members for watching one of the Marvel movies because the answer was Aquaman. And he was like, without ever seeing this movie, thanks to these two, when I was over at their house last week, I wouldn't have known this answer. So that's how he won off Aquaman.
He's just high-stepping into the end zone on all these
Jeopardy
episodes.
It's not
even Jeopardy
close, episodes. Though. Yeah, it's embarrassing. The other two contestants, I think, had $8,000 and $6,000 going into Final Jeopardy. And he had something like $60,000 going into Final Jeopardy yesterday.
Just embarrassing the competition.
Yes.
Much like I'm going to do to Randy in an hour when we play Sports Jeopardy against each other.
We'll see.
And sometimes embarrassment works.
Okay.
So
it's kind of scary.
Brooklyn Nets fans did this prior to Game 3 last night. So there was a photo circulating on Twitter, and this was a poster that was right outside the Barclays Center before Game 3 last night. And all it says is, missing, have you seen my jump shot? And it's a photo of Ben Simmons. It has his date of birth, when he's been missing, 24/7, age 22, weight 230, height 6'10". Identifying characteristics, just average. Last seen drinking in Orlando. Contact if lost, Kendall Jenner, which is his girlfriend.
That's pretty good.
Well, it may have worked because Simmons ended up with 31 points, 11 on 13 shooting, with 9 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks in the win last night for...
Yeah, he was pretty good last night.
He was pretty good, but maybe you talked about it. I told my coach, told me a long time ago, because Jared Dudley said the game before that he was,
said he was average.
Pretty much.
Average in the half court.
If you got and he played like he was pissed off yesterday. So if I got to get you mad for you to play great, you'll never be great. You just want to be great. He doesn't... To me, he don't want to be great. He want to be at IG Mom.
Well, he wants to be great on Instagram.
Yeah, because there's no way that he should not be able to shoot the basketball. Because he doesn't work at it. You can't tell me that he works his game.
They were in town. The Sixers were in town playing the Hawks one of the last games of the season. And I was there getting ready for the pregame show.
Game.
And he was going through his pregame work. And he was working on threes.
Uh-huh.
But it was like...
Playing around.
Playing around. Yeah. And also just hideous.
Yeah.
Think of the ugliest jumper you've seen. Mm-hmm. With Josh Childress, whatever. The ugliest jumper you can remember.
What was his name? Martin.
Kevin Martin.
Kevin Martin, yeah.
Kevin Martin shot it from the left side, and he was right-handed.
Yeah.
But that would go in. Ben Simmons is lefty. He takes it over the top of his head. You know how you're supposed to have your hand and your kind of elbow tucked in like that?
Yeah.
The beef method. Then he's got his hand all out like that, and he shoots it, and he's got side spin on the basketball.
Pretty ugly.
It's hideous.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go in. So anyway, but he did have 31-9 last night. And
can't complain.
And now here the other team's fans don't troll.
Yeah.
Another player.
Well, the guy, who was it? It was who was it that talked? Jared Dudley?
Yeah, Jared Dudley.
Talk trash about
did
him.
You see the air ball he shot last night?
Wide open.
It was god awful.
Wide open.
God awful.
And he's a shooter.
Is he? Yeah.
And he missed that thing by 3 feet.
Yeah, it was pretty raggedy. It was a raggedy shot.
It was.
Or do you think it just slipped off his hands?
No.
Maybe.
That wasn't no slip. That was just raggedy.
Jared Dudley.
That's embarrassing. Air balls are embarrassing.
Sometimes centers, you know, because they're big dudes, will have kind of bad bodies in the NBA.
He's real raggedy.
Jared Dudley's probably the worst body NBA player. Just kind of no definition in his arms, kind of noodle arms. Kind of like Paul Pierce used to look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't lift weights.
It looks like he doesn't.
Just does the cardio.
Maybe. And maybe it's just
that's
yoga.
That's what happens if you don't like have any kind of weight.
Noodly. No definition.
No, he's probably got better cardio than I do.
Well, he's an NBA player.
Yeah.
So he's probably in pretty decent shape.
So Rob Gronkowski announcing his retirement just a couple months ago. Well, there is a new video that the Patriots tweeted out, and it was the 6th Lombardi trophy that they got. And this is only how Rob Gronkowski would go out. Because Gronk is holding the Lombardi Trophy in his hands like it was a baseball bat, right? And Julian Edelman had a baseball, and teammates were watching this, and they didn't think Rob Gronkowski would actually hit said ball with the Lombardi Trophy because it's a really nice trophy. Well, he ended up hitting the ball, and he did it with a bunt. So if you look at the 6th Lombardi Trophy now that the Patriots have, there is a huge dent at the end of the football. So Rob Gronkowski leaving his mark
literally.
Before retiring, literally. But you have to watch the video. It's pretty hilarious because I don't think his teammates expected him to hit the ball.
No.
They're just like, oh, he's just going to
he'll
gonna
pull
goof.
It back.
Right. He's going to goof, but no.
So
that's
so
Gronk.
That is so Gronk right there. To hit a baseball, I'm sorry, bunt a baseball with the Lombardi Trophy.
And put a dent in the trophy.
And put a dent in it.
That's what you would remember when you were a kid and you'd mess up and do something to this one of your pair, whether it was a vase or.
Uh-huh.
I was downstairs watching a baseball game one time and Randy Johnson was pitching and I was like, I'll work on my pitching.
Right.
So I set up some pillows to pitch into. First pitch, threw it as hard as I could, missed. Right into the wall. It was a dent in the drywall. And so I tried to set up the blankets on the back of the couch to hide it.
Uh-huh.
And like 3 weeks later, it got found.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't a good day for me.
We've all done that, though. We've all done that.
Better just to say what happened.
I should have just told the truth.
I still do it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I still do. Try to cover up if I mess something up. Yeah.
I was chipping golf balls on Sunday watching the Masters.
In the house.
Yeah.
Come on,
I cracked a picture.
Come on, Andy.
Whoops.
I was trying to hit a flop shot. I bladed it a little bit.
Come on.
You know what, guys? I'm going to be able to talk to you in an hour. Not 20, not the
Wait
weekend.
Wait a minute.
In an hour.
Wait, did we?
Because we are doing.
Did we clear training. This?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. No.
Did we ask?
We'll ask forgiveness.
We'll ask forgiveness, not permission.
Not permission.
Mark Owens is coming in next, by the way, with the, thanks, Wendy. The Wendy Zone, another glorious Wendy Zone in the books.
Thanks, Wendy.
Mark Owens comes in next for the most important audio of all time in world history. Did you hear this? Right after this, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.